Welcome to the Living Savior Church today. Glory, glory, glory. Praise the King, praise the King, praise the King. Brother John, you okay back there? Amen, praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Did everybody have a good week this week?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's good, that's good. I mean, you think you come a long way to church? I met this couple over here a while ago, and I said, where are y'all from? He said, only from Des Moines, Iowa. Wow, I said, praise the Lord. Well, they come a long way to church. But that's good. We were up there one time, and I think that's where we met them. And then they're here visiting relatives that are not too far away. They're right over here in Flower Mound, they said. So they were real close. So while they were here, they decided to come to church. And we're so grateful to have this whole row of people here that's visiting with us today. And if any of the rest of you are new or visitors, we welcome you and we give the Lord praise and glory for bringing you here today. Now then, Cheryl and I just came back from a coal country in North Dakota. We had a good trip up there. We were going to fly our own plane up there, we had a little complication. The weather got bad and it got IFR, and then they said it was drizzling rain and sleet about two-thirds of the way between here and there, and I thought, okay, I'll just go commercial. And, of course, I'd prayed for God to give us a good day going and a good day coming back, and it didn't turn out to be so bad after all. I guess that's my lack of faith. You know, if I'd have went, I'm sure it would have been okay, and, of course, coming back Saturday would have been fine. And I thought, you know, I was wanting to fly up there in the Mooney, so it was much, much more economical than the 421. And then after we had to wait till the last day to buy our tickets, I got to thinking, after we got up there, of course, the 421 has anti-icing equipment on it. I wish now that I just went in the 421 because I could have gone cheaper than we went commercial. That's unbelievable that two tickets cost nearly $3,400. That's unreal, isn't it? Unbelievable, you know, that it costs that much money to fly from here to Rugby. We had to go to Minot, and then we had to go to Minneapolis, and then we had to go from Minneapolis on over to Minot, and then they had to drive an hour and a half to get us. And of course, then we had a real good day Friday. You know, we preached from 7 o'clock till 10:30, and then we prayed for people till 2 a.m. in the morning. And then we drove from there to Minot and caught a plane at 4:40 in the morning and then flew over to Minneapolis. And we were going to get out of there. And, of course, as they backed out of the gate, the right engine quit. They restarted it, and it quit again. And after the second time, he said, I think we're going to pull back the gate and have the engine checked. And so they did. And he said, we're going to deplane. You're going to have to go in another plane. So we had to go down and get on another plane. So 2 hours later, we get out of there, and we finally get home. And, of course, the time we get here, we'd been up 24 hours. So Cheryl and I, we were ready. We were strong as that bull we were talking about there a while ago. Strong as a bull, ready to go lay down and take a nap, I'll tell you for sure. But we had a good day. Praise the Lord. We got to see the Lord do some wonderful things. There was one little lady up there. I won't tell you what her problem was because she said it was private, and she didn't want nobody to know. She is a 30-year-old young woman, had a very... To me, it wouldn't be private at all, but to her it was. So she called me over to the side and wanted me to pray for her problem. And I told her I would, and I prayed for her. And then after I prayed for her, rebuked the spirit. I told her it's just a spirit of fear that's come upon you, and he'll go away, and you'll be healed. And then I asked the Lord to do a complete healing on this little lady from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet because I didn't know what else was wrong with her. The next night when she came back to church, I said, any testimonies? And she come running up there, and she said, well, I had a personal thing that Thurman prayed for me about, and it did get healed. It did happen. Everything worked perfect. But she said, I didn't even ask for healing for my back, but I got up the next morning, started running around doing things, and for the first time in a year, I noticed my back didn't hurt. And so she said, I didn't even ask him to heal my back. Why do you think I pray for people, Lord, do a complete healing from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet? Because that way he can do that, and he healed the little lady's back. So we got to see the King do a lot of wonderful things. But now then, I'd like to start out today. Is there anybody today that has a testimony that you want to tell us what Jesus has done for you? Do we have any testimonies? Jean, you got one? Come up here, girl. We'll turn this mic on and we'll let you tell the people what Jesus has done for you.
That's right.
This is Miss Jean Goss. Praise the Lord.
Hi.
I have to tell you, for years, my feet were like ice and my legs were like ice. And I finally decided, well, I can ask Thurman here to help me. So he did. And, you know, 2 days later, my feet were so warm it wasn't funny. I practically had to put them out the covers.
Isn't it wonderful when you ask Jesus what to do? God is so good. Isn't it good? Isn't it good that we serve an awesome
That's
God?
That's right. I got one more thing.
Oh, okay, sure.
After being here with him and learning all that I've learned from him, I'm so thankful for both him and his wife. But this woman, I went down and helped take care of my great-grandchildren because my daughter's got them now. And this lady came in that knew my daughter, and she said that she had all these kids with her. And she adopted, her and her husband adopted 7 children.
Wow.
And the littlest one, they were all healthy, but the little one had, she was practically blind. And the mother and them were talking, and I said to the kids, I said, come around here. I know you're all Christian people because you go to church and you're taught the right things. So they came up to me. We put our arms around each other in a circle, and I prayed over her eyes. And my granddaughter come home from school the next day, and she says, guess what? I said, what? She says, Laura took off her glasses. She says, that's a horse over there. So God helped her, and I'm so thankful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Now, see, that's what we're all supposed to be doing, right? We're supposed to be praying for people. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody have another? Okay, we got one here, and then we got one back here. So just we're going to get them all. No problem. Praise the King. Okay, Joseph. This is Joseph May. He's going to tell us.
This is not a personal testimony, but it's something that I think, and especially if any of you have kids or grandkids. My wife and I were watching Sid Roth's show last Thursday evening on television. And you can get him on the Internet if you've already missed him. I think he comes on again on Tuesday, probably with the same program. And this program happened to be about a lady who is really working with children in her church. And she's got literally dozens. It looked like, I don't know, maybe 25 or 30 kids in here, most of them real small, who are just really on fire for the Lord. And they travail before the Lord, you know, in prayers and prophecy and so forth. But the most beautiful thing on that tape was a little fella about the size of this young man right here. In fact, I don't think he was only 4 years old. So
this is
probably
a whole lot,
more
like
the one sitting back there with the mother.
Yeah.
He was in England, but there was a lady, a teacher of his back in the United States that he learned while he was there in England. His parents learned that his teacher had come down with some sort of disease, cancer or something. I'm not sure what it was. This little 4-year-old boy prayed one of the most beautiful prayers you ever heard for his teacher, and she was healed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, they can do it. Praise the Lord. These kiddos here can do it. Come on up here, Deborah. Praise the Lord. Miss Deborah here, she's got, every once in a while, she really got some good testimonies.
Well, actually, my testimony starts about 5 years ago, whenever I was reinventing myself, and my job of 12 years had ended. So the Lord, he always leads me. I went into becoming an appraiser and suffered through 3 years of getting certified, and then he brought me a fabulous job. And then he, once he stabilized all of my finances and brought everything in line, and of course with the help of Thurman's teachings, everything in my life started becoming much better. And then I started having on my heart that it was probably time now for me to fulfill a desire I'd had for the last 30 years, which was to adopt a child. Well, I've decided now to start going through that process, and I've gone through foster care and everything else. And what's so phenomenal is that you have to realize when you start 5 years behind and you have nothing about what the future is going to be, but he says that he's going to give you all the desires of your heart. My job is phenomenal. I've now been able to work from home to where now I have more access to bring a child in. Plus, the other thing that I just found out recently is that my company also is a big supporter of people who do foster care and adoptions.
Amen.
So now they have all these additional benefits. So everything is just like a continuation on the path that he's fulfilling. And, I mean, it just month by month it becomes better and better. And hopefully within the end of this month or the middle of next month, I'll have all my papers and everything done. So we'll be having probably some little kids here that I'll be bringing in.
Amen.
But, I mean, it's amazing that when I, from where I'm standing now, to look back at where I was and to see how all of it unfolded. I mean, he's just awesome.
He is more than awesome, Deborah. He is more than awesome. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else before we go on? Okay, nobody else? Last time? One, two, three. Okay. Okay, no, it's never too late. If you think of something you want to talk about, just holler and we'll let you give a testimony. as we all know, like Dave said, you know, we just had an election. And, you know, some of us were happy and some of us were not happy. But we know God's in control. You know, that he's got a plan and there's no two ways about it. You know, the prophecy that was told here and 8 years ago that at the end of 2008 there would be a man put in presidency in the United States of America that was the most godless man that had ever been. And we know that has happened. I mean, at least it's on the way. I mean, the actual electoral vote has not been cast yet. You know, that's actually, it's not sealed yet. It will be, I think it's the last part of December when that electoral vote is finally cast and is sealed. But until that time, right now I understand that the judges are demanding that the lawsuit that's been filed by a Democrat against Obama to produce his birth certificate. They're giving him till the first part of December to produce his birth certificate. And if he does not produce that birth certificate, then it will default back to McCain and Palin. Isn't that something? You know, so I can only see, I don't know what God's doing here, but it ain't over till God says it's over. Now, I'm going to tell you, since so many people voted for Obama, it appears that we know he is a very godless man. You know, we now know for sure he is a Muslim. He's not, he's supported by the Muslim countries, and Muslim countries don't support Christians. You know, they kill Christians. So since they're supporting him, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt he's a Muslim and all kinds of things there. So I hate to say this, but if the electoral vote, because he does not produce the birth certificate or if not satisfactory, and if they make a statement that he is not going to be president and that he's going to be put down, I'm going to tell you there's going to be a race war, a race riot in America beyond your wildest dreams. And there will be killing in the streets. People are wicked. You know, we're not talking about the church. This ain't going to happen to us, but we could very well see this. Now, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know God's in control. And that's the part that I can be in comfort knowing that God's in control, and all these things that we say we're going to see, you know what that's going to do? I mean, whenever devastation starts coming and people start getting killed or whatever, guess where they're going to come to? The safe havens. And guess where they are? The churches that are walking in obedience to God's word. And we may have to knock out the back and build a building four times as big. You know, because they may come here. This is going to be one of those safe havens that God has given. And so I'm looking forward to this new revival that's going to come. Now then, I believe, don't you know, God has a way of getting people's attention. You know that? We're praying all the time and think, oh, God, it's getting worse, and it's getting worse, and it's getting worse. He said, just pay attention. Just wait a minute. You know, let me get their attention. In fact, last night I went on the news and looked out at some of the Fox News on the internet, and I saw a place in California right outside of L.A. where there was over 100 homes burned. It just exploded, and things started burning. And the commentator, they had a little 2 or 3 minute video on this. I went and looked at it, and those homes that were burning, those were not little houses like mine across the street. Those were, he said, 5, 10, $20 million houses. And they burned good. I mean, they were really, I mean, it burned every one of them to the ground. And they even showed a picture of one of Oprah Winfrey's homes out there. That thing wasn't a home. That was a mansion. You know, but all I got to say is we shall see. Now, one of the things, when Dave said we don't have a television here, we don't. But we do have computers here. You know, and we can see the news on our computers. So I got to see last night with my own eyes the reward of the wicked. You know, even a church burned out there. But you know, there's some churches that's not too good either. You know that? So there was a great big church that burned. You know, but God's, who's in control of all this? God is. So why should we worry? When we see these wonderful statements like we read in Psalms 91, we read in Psalms 92, we don't have to be afraid of nothing as God's children as long as we're walking in obedience to His Word, right? Now then, don't get off into fear, because if you get into fear, you get out of God's will. He don't want you in fear. He wants you in love. He wants you, when these people that have a need come to you, you want to say, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is so awesome. He's so wonderful. He's so merciful. He will heal you. He will meet your need. Come on in. You may have your house burned down. Yeah, you might have been worth millions. Now your money's collapsed. The bank account that you had millions in, it ain't no good. And now you ain't got a place to lay your head down. So come in. We got a place here. We'll give you a pillow, and you can have, we'll be happy to let you sleep on the benches here. You know, and we'll show them how people can live. You know, we don't have to have a $40 million house to live in it, do we? You know, I mean, we can sleep on a bench right here. And well, last night, Cheryl and I could have slept on a concrete floor. After getting back, I will have to say, you know, I tell lots of things on my honey bunny, but I'm a real hot-natured person. I mean, you know, my blood must flow good, you know, and I'm hot. So in the summertime, when we got the air conditioner on and everything, we get in bed, I lay my arm around. She said, take your hand off of me. You're hot. Get away from me. You're so hot. I said, okay. So I move over, sleep on my side of the bed. Last night I went to bed, and it was 60 degrees in our little house. The heater hadn't been on, and it's 35, 32 degrees outside, so it was about 60 inside. So I turned the heat up to 65 and went to bed. She washed her face and everything, and just a few minutes she come and hit that cold sheet. And when she hit that sheet, she scooted under me. I mean, my land, she was. I said, wait, this is a way to get my wife to snuggle with me, you know, make it cold in the house. But she wanted some warmth, and I had some, praise the Lord. So she snuggled under me until the bed got warm, praise the Lord. But just like Jean, you know, I mean, I think about how Cheryl had cold feet when I first met her. You know, I mean, isn't it amazing what we can do? We can ask God. I mean, as Christians, we don't ask Him near enough, do we, Jean? We just don't stand on His promises. We go out and do things on our own. And there God is, our loving Savior. He's our daddy, and He's waiting for us to ask for something in faith. You know, and of course, you know, I mean, many times I've told y'all the story, and I talked again this morning to Miss Betty back there in the yellow, right there. She got a great testimony. I've told it so many times, but it's a good one. How that a few years ago she was working for a company, and she had to get a spreadsheet together to do some kind of taxes or what it was, some kind of calculation for the company she worked for. And she couldn't remember all the different formulas she needed to put in that spreadsheet to make it work. So after a couple of days of slaving and sweating, she decided to do what every good daughter of the King should do, pray. So she asked God. And that night, in the vision of the night, He showed her every formula and every place it had to go in that spreadsheet. She got up immediately, wrote them all down. The next morning, come to work, put them all in there. And there's another girl still using that spreadsheet today. It's still working perfect. Now, what happens to us? Why do we wait so long before we pray? See, God's sitting there waiting. He's sitting there, I love you. I know you don't know how to do that, but I'll help you. Isn't He awesome? If we will ask, He will do that. Well, with all the things this company, I want to turn to Psalms 11, verses 1 through 7 first. And I want to talk a little bit about Psalms 11, verses 1 through 7. And I want to show you some things. I want us to realize that God, He really stuck this in my heart the other day. And we're going to read this. It says, I trust in the Lord for protection. Now, do you really? See, there's a lot of us say that, But do we? I trust in the Lord for protection. So why do you say to me, fly to the mountains for safety? I mean, he really hit me with that the other day. The wicked are stringing their bows and setting their arrows in the bowstring. No, wait a minute. When I see the wicked pulling their arrows out and pulling them back at me, that kind of makes you get a little jittery, doesn't it? I mean, brother, would you get jittery if an enemy come in here and pulled his bow out, his bow and his string, and pulled that back, pointed it right straight at you? Yeah, I'd be praying to now. Lord, it's time to pray. That's for sure. It's time to pray. The wicked are stringing their bows and setting their arrows into bowstrings. They shoot from the shadows at those who do right. They do shoot at us. Well, what happens? Let's see what verse. The foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? Now, if these kind of things happen, in other words, I thought also as I watched that video last night, that homes all burning in California, it was also showing right there the same thing, I don't know what you would call this thing, this parade or this rebellion or this gay rights parade or whatever you call it. There was one going on in California. They was wanting, and they had all the guys there together, you know, with their arms around each other talking about their free love, and then the girls over here with a girl to a girl and all this kind of nonsense. And they're demanding their rights while these multi-million-dollar homes are burning down. And then they go from there to Chicago, and there's another one. They're virtually in a riot in downtown Chicago with the same kind of people doing the same thing. And devastation is happening all around us. We wonder why. We know why, don't we? As Christians, we know why. It says, the foundations of law and order have collapsed. What can the righteous do? And that very well could be in the very near future that we do see this. But the Lord is in His holy temple. I mean, the Lord still rules from heaven. If He's our God and He rules from heaven, do we have to be afraid of anything? No, we don't be afraid of nothing. Nothing. He watches everything closely, examining everyone on earth. So if you're walking obedient to His word, what do you have to fear? Isn't that comforting? I mean, He tells us all this in His word. But, you know, when it really comes down and the chips are down, that's when we find out, do we believe this book or not? That's when we have the problem. Verse 5 and 6. The Lord examines both the righteous and the wicked. He looks at both of you. He hates everyone who loves violence. Now, all these people that are doing all this violence and hurting people and running back and forth and screaming and killing and everything else, and all these people that are doing this, it says God hates those people. I mean, wow, is that what it said? God don't like this. And he rains down blazing coals on the wicked. And I thought about that last night as I'm watching these big houses burn. Now, what happened? Here's all this big area. I mean, all of a sudden, something happened, and there's a fire explodes, and it says these certain kind of trees that they've got lined up down the streets, been there for a long, long time, they have a lot of oil in the trees. That the type of tree it was highly saturated with oil. And whenever lightning or whatever was hit it, it's just like it exploded. And one of the men that was there when they was interviewing him, he said, I saw flames rising 200 feet in the air. It looked like Armageddon. I thought, a lot of people know about Armageddon. They've read that in the book. But they don't believe this book. But all these homes, I mean, and boy, just like you said, those things were burning fantastically well. I mean, they were just, it's hard to believe that these things, some of them were $20 million, were totally destroyed. And then the next day, the news commentator was back in that area, and here's this woman walking along there, and she had a big business out there in California, and she said, I lost everything last night. Nothing is left. I mean, everything. She said, I only had time when this explosion hit. And the fire hit. She said, I didn't even have time to run upstairs and get anything. I barely had time to grab my purse or whatever and get out. That's pretty quick, isn't it? What does it say? He rains down blazing coals on the wicked. I saw that. I actually saw that. in that video. I mean, I watched those houses exploding and burning, and there wasn't enough. There was 1,000 firefighters out there, and they had airplanes and helicopters and everything else dropping water, and it couldn't even begin to contain this fire.
I was watching that too.
You watched it too. Wow. I mean, it's awesome. God rains down blazing coals on the wicked, punishing them with burning sulfur and scorching winds. And they said the winds were blowing over 70 miles an hour. Isn't that something? I tell you what, let's, folks, as Christians, let's try to make sure we don't tick off the king, huh? I don't like it. I mean, he don't like it when we make him mad, does he? So don't you think we ought to obey him and do what he says? And if we do, he blesses us. Now, we all want to live on those blessings, don't we? And that for his children, that's what he'll do for us. He will not do this to us. If we walk in obedience to his word and walk in love, I can tell you, I can think about the faith. There's a little lady. I can't think of the little lady's name down in Florida. Dolores, yeah. Mueller, yeah, Miss Dolores Mueller. That's her name, yeah. So I get it on the tape, so if she hears one of the tapes, she'll know I'm talking about her. This woman, a few years ago, somebody gave her some of my teaching, and she started absorbing the teaching and learning how to walk in faith. And so she has now been through 3 different hurricanes. Well, now, the first hurricane after she had learned God's word and the power she had as a daughter of God walking in obedience, she believed that she could stand by faith and her house not be damaged. And houses were destroyed all around her, and she never lost a shingle. That was amazing. Well, the next year, after she saw this, she said, I believe that now that I can stand by faith, and not only this year my house not be damaged, but my electricity not be knocked out. And whenever the storm cleared and the wind stopped, her house was still standing, and she, of all people, still had electricity. So the next year, when they had the real bad ones, she said, this year, I believe I can stand for my house and my whole block for electricity. And she wrote us a letter. When the storm cleared, her house was not damaged. Most houses on her block were not damaged very bad, but the electricity was still on in their entire block. Is that a woman of God? Now, see, she had a tremendous impact upon the rest of the people in that area running up and down the streets telling them, I prayed for y'all. That's why your house wasn't tore up this year. I believe God that your electricity wouldn't be knocked out. And probably some of those people think, you know, this woman, see, she's lost it, you know. But whether they know it or not, God knew it. And he knew his little daughter, and he knew her faith. And she had learned God's word, and she learned who she was in Christ. Now, all of us may need to be that strong in faith in the future, because we are going to see, like Dave said, we're going to see with our eyes. How would you like to see 10,000 fall at your right hand? I don't want to see that, but God's the one who said that, wasn't he? But what did he say would happen to you if you stay in faith? It won't touch you. Isn't that awesome? We'll only see it with our eyes. So we need to make sure, Lord, I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm standing in obedience to your word. I'm in your word. So this devastation's not going to touch me. Now, see, that's what's available to us. Just like Miss Dolores. I mean, she wrote me a letter after that, and she said, praise God, Thurman. She said, this year my faith has increased. Now, why had that woman's faith increased? What's she been doing all year long while everybody else is doing something else? What's she doing? Listening to the word, studying the word, checking it out, getting stronger in faith. And boy, did she get strong. I mean, to be able to stand for 3 years in a row and not have any damage to her house or anything. But I think what's available, you know, it's available to us. He rains down blazing coals on the wicked and punishes them with burning sulfur and scorching winds. And we're seeing that, aren't we?
Sure are.
We're seeing the king do that. I mean, now in California, they back in June the 20th, whenever, I mean, I feel sorry for the poor little governor out there, because he's really not a man of God. I mean, he come to America as a free country, and he's been a very successful movie star. And then, of course, because he was a movie star, then he ran for governor. And, of course, they put him in as governor because he was a faithful movie star. But I don't think he knows nothing about God. You know, very little, if anything. And so when he signed into law that thing those liberal judges brought up, that homosexuals, perverts, men could marry men and women could marry women, that tells me he don't know nothing about God's word. You know, nothing. But, you know, that's just the way it is, isn't it? You know, if you're real, a man, a woman of God, you know that God hates those things, don't you? And if you know God hates that, I ain't going to say it's okay to do those kind of things. Are you? No, I am not going to, because I don't want God to get me. You know, but anyway, on the 20th, whenever he signed that into law in June, by the 23rd or 4th of that same month, California, which had never had more than about 500 lightning strikes in any given year that started a fire, they had over 8,000. 8,000 in 3 days. And I mean, you know, it didn't take a rocket scientist to figure out somebody ticked off the king. He wasn't happy. Where all that lightning coming from? From God. And he's raining them. Okay, you guys want to break my rule? Let me show you what I can do. 8,000 of them. And then some people started praying for rain. And it rained. But not where the fires were. It rained on the roads and washed them out where they couldn't get the firefighting equipment to the fire. Now, isn't that amazing? That's just a coincidence. No, no, no. You got to be like that saying, you got to be plumb, ignorant, and dumb, and stupid to believe that. You know, that you got to know that God's judging this place. And now then, he's still not happy because they just had all these uprisings and all these parades and all this stuff both out there and in Chicago. And now then, look what happened. All of a sudden, this great big huge area of California, beautiful thing with multi-million dollar homes, which these people think I'm untouchable. And all of a sudden, a lightning bolt or something hits those trees that are in their yards. And they blow up, and all of a sudden they're burning, and they jump from house to house, and over 100 of those houses burned. I did just go to show, that's not a coincidence, folks. That's a judgment from God. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care who believes this or don't believe it. That's a judgment from God. But did he say right here he would do that? Then he says, for the Lord is righteous, and he loves justice. Those who do what is right will see his face. That makes it worthwhile doing what he says. You know that? You obey God, you don't have to worry about nothing. He'll protect you. He'll bless you. He'll make everything work for you. He'll just bless everything you put your hands to. But will it be without trials and tests? Oh, no, there's going to be trials and tests. I mean, last Sunday we talked about rejoice in all things. Because this is the will of God. Rejoice. Well, after I preached on that, I got a chance to prove that. I didn't like it, but I got a chance. We went over the other night. Somebody gave this ministry a big 3-door stainless steel freezer. And it needed a little work, but we went over to get that. So we went over, and of course, several men of the church went with me, brought their pickups, trailers, all had all kinds of good help there. So we get out there, and of course, when we get over to get it, we couldn't get it out of the door because it's a 7-foot tall deal, and the door is only 7 foot. So, the time you try to roll it over the threshold, and with the jams in there, it lacked about an inch coming out. So, we had to take the wheels off of it. So, once we took the wheels off, this big, heavy stainless steel thing, it sat down on the ground. So, now then we can get it out, and we slid it over the threshold, we get it out to the edge of the trailer. Now, we got to pick it up to get it on the back of a trailer. And so I'm reaching my fingers under like this, and one of the men is on the end with a dolly with his foot trying to push it under so he can get it under there. And as soon as I picked it up, he pushed the dolly under and with his foot, and it started right there. And for an inch and a half to the end of my fingernail and a half inch deep, it laid all that skin right over. So guess what I did? I jumped up praising the Lord. Oh, God, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody says, you're a fool. No, I had just preached the day before. Joy. God says, in all things rejoice. So I think he must want me to rejoice. Now then, I mean, within 30 minutes after rejoicing. Of course, I will have to say, when Dave, he said, "Are you hurt, Pastor?" And I said, "Oh, God, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And he comes over and looks at me and said, "Oh, God, thank you, Lord." But he saw my finger tore all to pieces. "Oh, God, thank you, Lord." You see, it's kind of hard for us to do what the King says when the tests and trials come, right? But we all did. We all did. And within probably 20 or 30 minutes at the max, all pain was gone out of my finger. It did never hurt again. I mean, now, I did. I could have easily went to the doctor and took 9 or 10 stitches in that. It was that long. I could have easily went over and had it sewed up. You know. But instead, I said, "Oh, praise the Lord. I'm thank you, Jesus. You're my healer." So I just put a Band-Aid around it, and that's all I've done this week, just put a Band-Aid and every day change it, but 2 new ones. And so it's growing back. Praise the King. Now then, did the Lord say rejoice in all things? Now, Kim?
I know.
I know. See that? And there ain't nothing I hate worse than pain, but it only lasted for about 30 minutes. And then it was gone, see? Now, does it do good to do what he says? Yes, it does very good to do what he says. So, anyway, you get a chance to prove God's word, but he will put you to the test. Now, I don't like those tests. Do you, Bill?
No.
I don't like them. But he told me to rejoice in them, so what am we going to do? We're going to rejoice in them. Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's go to Romans 1:16. And on 16 to 32, we're going to talk a little bit about some of these things. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 32. Romans 1. Okay. And Romans 1:16, this is one of my favorite verses here. "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." Now then, I mean, the other night when I was up there in Rugby, I said, "You know, I want to know how many people here is ashamed of Jesus Christ." I said, I asked people in church, "Are you Christians?" And some people hold their hand up about this high. Every once in a while, some people will really hold their hand up, and some will hold it like this. And some just sat there like a cow eating a pickle pear. I said, "Today I want to know who of you are Christians." And I asked him, I said, "If you're really a born-again Christian, you ain't ashamed of it, I want you to hold your hand up." And so they held their hands up a little bit, and some of them held it up real high. And I said, "Now look," I said, "if you're not ashamed, hold it up." And so they did. All of them but 2 people held their hands up. So I thought, wow. But are you ashamed of Jesus? Well, if you are, he ain't going to do nothing for you. You know, you got to not be ashamed of Jesus. You got to be willing to talk about him. You ought to have seen us when we went down here to DFW Airport the other morning. We was real early. We had to catch a 5:30 flight to get out. Everything was early this time, so we couldn't get any flights. Rugby's not exactly an easy place to get to. You know, it's a little bitty, tiny place in the middle of nowhere. And to get to Minot, North Dakota, there ain't everybody goes there, I'll tell you for sure. There's a very limited number of flights that goes into that place. And then they're very expensive to get in and out, I will have to say. But anyway, we walked up down here, and there's a girl that's sitting there. She's checking our, you know, IDs and all that stuff. And she happened to be a black lady with a hood on and all this kind of stuff. And I said, "Ma'am," I said, "where were you born?" She says, "In Texas." I said, "Then what do you got all that stuff on for?" She said, "I'm a Muslim." Why in the world would a woman born in the United States of America with all the freedom we have, why would you accept a God that's not a God? Why would you accept Allah and become a woman that's bound where you have legal right by Shia law for your husband to beat you? And you have no rights whatsoever. What makes a woman want something like that? She just shrugged her shoulders and I went on. So then that really lit my fire. So I walked up, and it's 5:00 in the morning, and the place, you know, all the men and women that are checking you down through the place, when the guy said, "You can come through," I said, "Is there anybody in this place knows Jesus?" One of the guys said, "Well, I do." I said, "Praise God, there's at least one Christian in this place." You know, and Cheryl thought I was going to get thrown out. She, She is, what is wrong with you? I said, you know what's wrong with me is Jesus. I ain't ashamed of the King. You know, we're going to all have to get bold like that in the future. You know that? The boldness. We're going to have to get bold with the Word of God. And because, and there's going to be a time coming. They're going to be knocking down your door if you're a professing Christian, especially if you're a professing Christian that knows how to get God to do things when you pray. Because there are going to be people come to you, both Muslim, all people that are not Muslim, people that have been here in the United States all their life, people that have been to church that ain't never seen a miracle in their life, ain't never seen God do nothing. And they're going to be hurting. They're going to lay in here. They're going to be having problems. And you're going to walk up and pray for them in faith. And God's going to do something miraculous.
Yep.
And then they're going to say, whoa, this last time revival, I believe with all my heart, we're approaching an era that God is going to bring John 14:12 into reality. Where Jesus said, anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done. You like that too, do you, brother? I love it. I'd love it to be able to pray for people and touch them and see things happen even greater than what Jesus did. Wouldn't you?
Amen.
I love that. But I believe with all my heart that's coming. I believe you and me are going to have the opportunity to confirm that the God we serve is mighty and that He is the only God. I believe things are going to happen just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they said, no God can protect you from that fire. They said, our God can and He will. And they throwed them in the fire and Jesus showed up in there with them. And then this king looked and he said, whoa, I throwed 3 men in the fire. There's 4 of them walking around and one of them looks like the Son of God. I wonder how he knew that. Isn't that something? And so he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out of the fire. Ooh, if I'd have been one of those boys, I'd have been down and said, this is a good shower down in here. King, come on in here. Let me show you what it's like down here. Let's see what you could do in here. Come on. But when they came out, he said, it's obvious the God you guys serve is the one and only God. He said, from this day forth, I put a decree that anybody that will not serve the Lord, the God that these 3 men serve, I will have you know, I'll cut your head off. Isn't that something? Here's a man said, if you serve anybody besides me, I'll cut your head off. And now then, obviously, he's seen a demonstration that's beyond his wildest ability. And now then, he says, you're going to serve their God. Well, now see, when we demonstrate our God like that to these people with this devastation I believe is coming upon this earth in the not-too-distant future, we have nothing to fear. He's going to take care of us, isn't he, Tom? He's going to protect us, and He's going to use us on this earth as His ambassadors mightily to do great things for His name.
Amen.
And I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
I think it's going to be fun. He promises to not hurt us, but we don't want to get off in this fear nonsense. We want to stand in faith and believe that God's going to do great things. We're going to see Him. I believe we're going to see Him raise the dead. I believe we're going to see Him. I believe our faith is going to get so strong, those of us that are willing to serve Him. I believe there will be times when things may happen and you might see a Muslim come in here with a machete somewhere on the street and hack a man's arm off. Do you know they do that all the time? Do you know that whenever somebody gets caught stealing in their country, they cut the right hand off and the left foot? Isn't that something? And then if they catch you stealing again, they cut your head off. I believe the time's going to come when we see those people come to life in this part of the country, and there's millions of them over here right now already. And when they go to war with us, when they start killing people, whacking people's arms off, we run up and grab an arm and say, in the name of Jesus, and put that thing right back on, and arm gets whole again.
Yes, yes.
Praise God. That's the greater things that Jesus is talking about. You talk about getting a bunch of people's attention. You let some Muslim or a bunch of Muslims come in and start cutting off people's arms or their head. And you walk over and pick up a head and set it back on right there. And the girl starts smiling. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Thurman, for putting my head back on. I lost it for just a minute. I mean, some of you may think that's completely wild, but you know, you got to learn to think like God.
Amen.
There ain't nothing impossible with our King. Absolutely nothing. And wouldn't you love to be so tied in with the King that He could tell you to do those kind of things? You see Him, I mean, you're walking down the street and you see somebody get their head cut off. And instead of going into fear and running, You will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, go over and pick that head up, put it back on that person. I'll make it grow back. See, now, if you're walking obedient to his word, he'll do that. You know, I mean, I've seen the king do such awesome things already. I don't have a problem believing he can do greater things than what I've seen him do. You know, I've seen him put awesome, I've seen him do mighty things. I mean, awesome things. But after all, who is he? He's only God. Only God. I mean, he made the worlds. He made you. He made everything. There's nothing that limits God except you and me. Our lack of faith is all that limits the Lord. It's just like that little girl up there and that said the problem she had. She was 30 years old. When she told me what was wrong, I said, no problem. I said, that's just a demon of fear causing you to do those kind of things. I said, I have complete power and authority over that beast. I'll kick that beast out and I guarantee you won't have that problem no more in the name of Jesus. Obviously, I pleased the king. Because the next day when she come in, not only was that problem solved, but her back was healed too. Now then, isn't that wonderful to serve a God that does those kind of things, Joseph? It's awesome. Wonderful. Now, I'm not ashamed of him. Right, now, let's go see what verse 17 and 18 says. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. Ooh, from faith to faith. We got to believe him by faith. This is the kicker. Faith. I got to believe something. It's just like the first time I prayed for somebody. Just like the first time I cast a demon out of a little girl from long distance. I had never done that, but I knew the scripture said I could do that. I knelt down beside a bed with a little girl that was eat up with a demon. And she lived about 3 or 4 miles from here. And that little girl was so eat up and her skin was all deteriorated. And I knelt down beside that bed and I said, Lord, your word says I can do anything you did. And your word says that you cast out demons from long distance. So I believe with all my heart I can do that. So I knelt beside my bed, technically caught myself up into the throne of grace, rebuked the devil, commanded him to leave that little girl, and then asked the Lord to heal her. And God did. He delivered her and healed her. Next Sunday at church, I tried to tell them what to do, and they couldn't believe it. But the next Sunday, the mother came and said, Thurman, did you pray for my daughter this week? I said, well, yes. I started to say, no, I cast a demon out of her. But I knew that wouldn't go over too good with a Baptist couple. So I just said, yes, I pray for her. She said, I knew it. My daughter was healed this week. Now, what can we do by faith? Anything by faith. But he says, everything is accomplished from start to finish by faith. I mean, we get saved by faith. We get healed by faith. We get delivered by faith. We do everything by faith. Around a word of God with a God we can't see. He's invisible with demons that we can't see, but we have to believe. Now then, from faith, that's just like when we're up there, the pastor and associate pastor of the church we went to, lovely people, loved them right off the bat. I fell in love with both of them. Just a great couple. Well, the lady, the associate pastor, her husband's a senior pastor, and they both went to Rhema together, graduated together, got saved at the same time, all kinds of things, and just got on fire for Jesus. And they're really a great couple. And she's sitting up, she's a good singer. And man, she's singing, and I mean, she's really getting with it. I mean, she's really a go-getter on the music. I mean, she'd make a good Pentecostal, you know. So she was singing like crazy and everything. She's saying, if I'm healed, I'm healed. You know, and all of his promises are yes and amen. And she sang all them wonderful songs. I thought, man, this girl's on fire. She's got it down, you know. Well, the next day I'm at their house and we're sitting there having dinner, me and her husband. And as we're sitting there, she said, well, I have this and I have that. And I listened to her a little while and I said, you don't believe your own singing. What do you mean? I said, those songs you sang last night, I said, if I'm healed, I'm healed. I said, you didn't believe that. What do you mean? I do believe it. I said, no, you should just sit here with your own tongue and told me, I have this and I have this. I said, now, you know, everything you sang last night, obviously just up here, but what you're saying now is coming out of here. And so this is what's going to manifest, your sickness. Good grief, she said, I never thought about that. I said, well, don't you think it's time you think about that? So that night at church, she said, you know, you have no idea what it is to be a pastor and have another pastor come and have him come to your house and take your tongue out and put it on the floor and mash it. But she said, that's what Thurman done to me all day today. I said, well, iron sharpens iron. But that night when we got through, I said, you sang all those songs again, woman. I said, now are you healed? She said, yes, I'm healed. Okay, now she's got the right thing. See, she's believing. So I tell you what, I guarantee that woman's healed too. We go away from there, that woman's healed. You know, so you have what you confess with your mouth. When you get to where you can believe that, this thing is by faith. We receive all this thing by faith. And it says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. We quote the Word, and the Word gives us life. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. Now, I know we don't have hardly anybody in America that's pushing the truth away from them, do we? It's a shame what we have. I mean, when I think about all the things I just told you about a while ago, I think about the devastating things and the fires that were raining down in California. Of course, how long has the fires been burning in California? For about 6 months, haven't they? Since June. I mean, they started in June, and there was thousands of acres burned. And it ain't quit. It's still, you'd think they would finally get the idea. I mean, I even made on a tape, I hope somebody gets it, Governor Schwarzenegger. I even called his name. I said, Governor Schwarzenegger, I want you to know that God loves you. And if you'll go in and kick all them liberal judges out, and you'll change that back and start serving God, and you as a governor will put God first, and you'll tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for signing this thing. Now I'm going to kick this thing out, and I'm going to go back, and we're going to make California a place that serves the living God. And I said, if you will do that, I said, I guarantee God will put the fires out in one day in California. He'll do it. You know that? They'll just all stop burning. But until he gets it, they're going to keep burning. They're going to continue to have fires. And they are. Now then, as far as I'm concerned, if you lose 100 houses that are worth $5 to $20 million, that's a little investment for somebody, isn't it? Some insurance company's going to have to pay, but a lot of the stuff that people had, they're not ever going to be able to replace it. Because you think about what people put in their homes. All kinds of stuff. And when you got those kind of houses, a lot of them people don't even know what they got in them houses. Stuff that they bought and stuff. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who push the truth away from themselves. He shows His anger from heaven against how many? All. They all are going to get hit. 19 and 20. For the truth about God is known to them instinctively. These people know He's God. You know, when I read this about this, I thought, you know, I don't know if, you know, just read that at face value and think, you know, I don't know if that's true or not. People instinctively know. But, you know, then it came back to me, my brother-in-law. My sister was 9 years, my oldest sister, she was 9 years older than me, and she graduated from high school the year I started. I was only in school with her 1 year. And she graduated, and then right after graduation, she got married, and then the man that she married, it wasn't long, World War II come along, and he had to go to World War II as a soldier. Now, he was with the group of men that hit Normandy Beach, but he came out alive. Now, he said on the way over there, guys were cussing, playing cards, doing everything. He said, I was reading my Bible. They made fun of me. He said, there ain't no God. He said, some of them guys said, there ain't no God. When we hit Normandy Beach and the bombs started blowing up, bodies were being blown all to pieces. He said, them guys were over in their holes, they were talking to somebody. You know, God knows how to get your attention. You know that? Yeah, you're out there on that ship riding along. You're playing cards with all the guys. There ain't no danger. But when you get off that boat and they run you in that little flat bottom thing right up there to the shore, and the door flops down on that thing, and as soon as it flops down, you start to run, and all of a sudden the guy in front of you just cut in two with 6 or 8 50 caliber machine gun shells, and he falls dead, blood running everywhere. Hey, God knows how to get your attention. You know that? He said there was a lot of them men that I heard say, there is no God. He said, I guarantee where them bombs hit that beach and them holes was, they was in them holes, they was praying to somebody. They instinctively know He's God. Everybody knows. And the scripture right there says, for the truth about God is known to them instinctively. God has put this knowledge in their hearts. Who put this in everybody's heart? God did. We all know He's God. We all know that. From the time the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky and all that God made. They can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature. I mean, I think about that, and I think about the day I was coming back from Houston, and I got on an airplane in Houston coming to Dallas, and there was a guy sitting beside me, and he looked like he was 50 years old, so he was studying a biology book. I thought, now this guy surely is not in college. I'm going to assume he's a professor. So I said, sir, are you a professor or something in college? You teach this? He said, yeah, University of Colorado. I said, oh, great. I said, biology is a great subject. I said, didn't God make some awesome plants and all this kind of... I said, isn't He awesome? He said, I don't believe in God. I said, you don't believe in God? And you study this and teach this in depth, and you don't believe there's a God? No, I don't believe there's a God. I said, well, where do you think the first one of those trees came from? He said, from a seed. And so, okay, where did the seed come from? He said, from another seed. I talked to that guy all the way to Dallas. And when we started to get off the airplane, I said, well, all I got to say, sir, one more time, the Word of God just proved it's true today. He said, what do you mean? I said, the Word of God says only a fool says in his heart there's no God. I said, you're a fool. I mean, the Word of God's what called him that. I didn't do that. God says in His Word, anybody that says there is no God, he is a fool. I mean, where do you think all these things come from? I'm telling you, you have to know that God is God. And he put, and that man truly, technically knew there was a God. And if he ever got to the point, in fact, we were talking about somebody up there, what with some of the people we were there, that one of their relatives that said they didn't believe in God. In fact, one of them said that one of their relatives was miraculously healed from prayer. A great thing happened. And then when somebody came back to confront them about it, he said the man jumped up and threw his finger in their face and said, I don't ever want you to hear that God had anything to do with my healing. He said, when he died, when he did die later, he was screaming in agony and seeing the demons come to get him. You don't make fun of God. You can, but only a fool will do that. And then he'll send the demons to get you just like he promised. Ooh. That don't even sound funny to me, does you? When you can see these wicked beasts coming to get you. I have one other man in my family, my dad's brother. I tried to witness to that man when I was a younger man. He didn't want nothing to do with God. You know, he said, no, I don't believe that junk. Well, the night he died, my dad's sister and her husband took him to temple to the doctor. Doctor said he couldn't find nothing wrong with him. So they sent him back home. And on the way home, he starts telling his sister, he said, sis, look at them things. She said, what do you, Lord, what do you see? Don't you see them wicked, them things? They're coming to get me. And she said, I don't see. He said, I thought maybe they'd give him some medicine. He's hallucinating. But he died in that car tonight in agony thinking about these things, telling her these things were coming to get him. What do you think those things were? Demons. And he was seeing them. But he had reached a point of no return. It was impossible for him to accept Jesus. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that man's burning in hell. And he'll be there forever. But I tried. I went, I prayed for him, I did everything I know to do. But he, by his own free choice, didn't want to serve God. If you give him another chance today, I guarantee he'd jerk your arm off today. I'm sure he's begged and pleaded with God. I can see now Jesus walks through that place once in a while. And I know he does. He walks through hell because he's not limited by anything. He walks through hell to let those people know, hey, I am God. And I can just see him now saying, Lord, please, please, please give me another chance. And I can see Jesus in his compassion wanting to give them another chance. But the Father says, no, it's too late. He had all the chance in the world on earth. His judgment has been set. There ain't nothing can be done now. He's going to be here forever. Isn't that sad? Wow. Okay, there's no excuse. So they have no excuse whatsoever for not knowing God. There will be no excuse. The Scripture says so, 21 and 22. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. The result was that their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they became utter fools instead. 23 and 24. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people or birds and animals and snakes. So God let them go ahead and do whatever shameful thing their hearts desired. And as a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. 25. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies, so they worshiped the things God made, but not the Creator Himself, who is to be praised forever. That's why we're praising Him today, wasn't it? That's why we have no problem standing and worshiping and praising God. And that's why I have no problem at all. I don't care when I walked in that line down the other day with all that stuff there, all them men and women that are checking all things. I just threw them and said, is there anybody in this place know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Somebody said, well, that guy's crazy. No, that guy ain't crazy. He knows his God. Amen. He knows who He is, and He knows my King wants me to tell other people about Him. They don't want to be deceived. But the reason that little woman was sitting there with that Muslim deal on is since she was born in the United States of America, ain't nobody told her the truth. Nobody. She didn't have the privilege to live in a place where there was men that would love her and walk holy in obedience to God's Word and walk in a demonstration of the Spirit's power. If there had been, that little woman wouldn't be a Muslim today. You know that? She would never have accepted Allah, which is no God. She would be walking with Jesus. So it says, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex, and instead of indulging in sex with each other. I guess there's really got to be something wrong with them. I just don't understand how a woman could have sex with a woman. I don't understand how a man could have sex with a man. I mean, that's so vile to me. I mean, ugh. Oh, wow. Okay, verse 27. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationship with a woman, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result, they suffered within themselves the penalty they so richly deserved. Just like I've said many a time, I have the answer for AIDS. Abstinence. I have the answer for all these things. Obey God. And you don't have to be sick. All you got to do is obey God. When they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds. Now, how would you like for God to abandon you? No, thank you. I want the King on my side, don't you, brother? Absolutely. So when they refused to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their evil minds and let them do things that should never be done. I mean, if you want to walk wicked, He'll let you go there. He'll do everything in the world to try to get you away from that. And then just what He will do. For these people right here that we're talking about, when they get so vile and they've done all these things, isn't it amazing how some of these homosexuals have lived together and some of them had hundreds of mates and they never caught AIDS until 10 or 15 or 20 years later? Isn't that the mercy of God? God, you talk about love. I mean, if I had created a bunch of people and told them what to do and they started having sex with each other like this instead of waiting 5, 10, 15, or 20 years, I'd have given them a week. If they hadn't straightened their act up, I'd have killed them all. You know, aren't you glad I'm not God? I'm glad I'm not God. Because that meant I'd have judged myself the same way on some of the dumb things I did. I mean, back yonder when I was more interested in going to the hot rod races on Sunday and going to church about two or three Sundays, that, and I said, okay, take him out. He ain't going to go to church, so I'm taking him out. Aren't we glad I'm not God, Jack? Amen. He's merciful, isn't he? And if he wasn't merciful, Jack, me and you wouldn't be here today. We know that. We know that. So praise God. But all of us, I just made a joke with me and Jack, but we know, all of us know, we have sinned tremendously And if we hadn't, I have a wonderful God, none of us would be here. He said, but he abandoned them to do the things that should never be done. And in the next two verses, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness. I mean, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, fightings, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They're backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They're forever inventing new ways of sinning and are disobedient to their parents. When I think about that, I think about the other day I was watching a video that somebody sent me about the Muslim world and how that a man... our book says, children, honor your parents. Is that what it says? Love them, respect them. But the Muslim Bible teaches that if your mother doesn't do what you say, you have the right to beat her. Can you imagine your son walking up to you and he's 20 years old and maybe you said something he didn't like? He walks up and grabs you and just punches you right in the face as his mother. Can you imagine serving a God like that? I don't want nothing to do with him, do you? I don't want nothing to do with him. Well, guess what they do? Here a while back, we had two of those young ladies that came over here in a Muslim family, and their daddy was a devout Muslim. And they were like 16 and 18, and they got accustomed to the things they saw in America. And those two girls went out one night, and they went on a date with two American boys. And that night when they got home, guess what their daddy did to those two girls? He killed them. He killed them. His own daughters. How would you like to serve a God like that? I don't want nothing to do with him, do you? I like this God of love. I don't like this God of hate. But the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So it's real easy when they say that America is the great Satan and Israel is the little Satan. I believe they got that wrong, don't you? We're not Satan. They are. But see, they don't see it like that. They've been taught wrong. But when you see these people, and I mean, I see these videos all the time. When you have a Muslim preacher stand up here and say, kill Christians, kill Americans. And then one I heard the other day said, we're going to annihilate America. He said, we're going to take the White House and we're going to make the White House a black house and we're going to destroy America from within. I thought, wow, where have we been? But guess who's in control? God's in control. And he may let, because of our wickedness, he's going to put this man in office, which is the most godless man we've had. We've had some pretty ungodly ones up there lately, I will have to say. We've had some pretty ungodly ones. Now, I don't have to call any names. Y'all know who they are. I don't think we've had a godly president in the last 50 years. Not really. They all got their problems. But this time we really got one that's really ungodly in every way. But God put him in office because in Romans 13 he says there ain't nobody in office except I put him there.
That's right.
So what's he do putting him in there for? To judge America. To bring devastation. And when he brings that devastation, he's going to bring a revival. There's going to be cheap people screaming wanting to know Jesus. And you're going to be the one that gets to tell them about him. You know this God. You're the one that's going to get to pray the prayer of faith for them and see their lives change. And God's going to bring into the kingdom. Now then, regardless of the devastation he has to bring upon the United States to cause it, if he can bring another 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 100 million souls into the kingdom, whatever he has to do, it'll be worth it, won't it? I'd a whole lot rather know Jesus than have to go through a little trial and tribulation for a few years on this earth than to have everything blessed here for 70 or 80 or 90 years and then die and go to hell forever. I don't want that. And there's too many people today have had it too good in America and they forget where all this goodness comes from. The reason America's blessed because of people like you. That's the reason. That's the only reason America's blessed, because God has a lot of people in this country that love him and serve him every day. And that's why he continues to bless this country. If it wasn't for us, hey, he'd have done wiped it out. But he's fixing to judge it. Now he says in verse 31 and 32, they refuse to understand. They break their promises. They are heartless and unforgiving. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Isn't that amazing how that you think about right now, when you think about these people that know this, these ungodly people, these people that are promoting sex between like people instead of the way God made it. Now then, they're going into our schools and they're trying everything to teach people from the time they're this size. I mean, you got to be careful if your kids are in school. Because they go. I remember I taught my kids the Word of God at home. Every day I read it to them. And I know some of you do the same thing. But when my daughter, right over here in Northwest High School, when she was over there one day in one of the classes, the professor was talking about evolution. My daughter listened a little while. And as she listened, she said, "Sir, I have a question." He said, "Okay, Amanda, what's your question?" She said, "My daddy reads to me out of the Bible every night. And in the Bible it says God created the heavens and the earth, and we didn't come from a monkey." And he said, "Amanda, I believe like your daddy does." She said, "Then why are you teaching us a lie?" I thought, out of the mouths of babes. We need more babes like that, don't we? Out of the mouths of babes. If you don't believe this, why are you teaching this to me? And then we need more men and women that'll stand up to the school board and say, "This is a lie. I ain't teaching this to these kids." They said, "Well, we're going to get somebody else." Say, "Fine. Get somebody else, but that's a lie, and I'm not going to teach it in my class." Now then, if all of us would stand up and do that, that are Christians, if everybody that's a Christian in America stood up and say, "We're Christians and you ain't going to do this," there is a whole lot more of us than there are of them. But what we do, we let one or two of them take away all of our rights. What a shame. You know, that's why I've said before, being a Christian is not for a wimp. We're soldiers. We're warriors. So get used to it. So a few of us have to die. What's the big deal? I mean, as long as we get to die for Jesus, you know what he's going to do for you? If you die doing what he told you to do? Paul said, they warned Paul. They said, "Paul, you go down to Jerusalem, they're going to cut your head off." He said, "What's the big deal? What's the big deal?" He said, "I'm going down there and preach the gospel. They cut my head off." He said, "To live is Christ, but to die is gain." Now, we don't look at it like that, do we? Most people don't. Most people would give anything to keep their life. Do you know that according to the last report I got, that the national identity card that we were supposed to all got according to Bush's law last May, they didn't get the computers in place. And so the national ID card didn't hit the system last May like they planned. But Jack Van Impey told us the other night on one of his shows that those new high-speed computers are now in place. They are capable of handling, I forget how many trillion bytes every second, they're more than able to handle everything that can ever be done for 6.5 billion people on the face of the earth right now. That's a computer beyond my wildest dreams. You think about a computer, that right now, when you go into your credit card place, or when you go into the gas pump and you put your credit card in there, it makes you wonder what kind of computers they got that can access that and give you gas in about 10 seconds. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's what they're doing this for. This whole plan that's happening to us, the big boys, the few big boys that are running the world, they know what they're doing. And they're doing this, and that's what I'm telling you, that between now and next May, there will be some kind of terrorist activity beyond your wildest dreams, because the average person, if they call you and say, "This May, we're not going to give you a national ID card. this May we're going to give you an RFID chip. You come down, take about 10 seconds. We will put this little tiny chip in the back of your right hand or in your forehead. And then all your bank accounts and everything will work off of that number. And if you don't have that by the end of May, you ain't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade or do nothing financially. Okay? Do you know what the Scripture says? If you're a Christian and you take that chip, you know what you have just done? You have sealed your fate in hell. Y'all know that? So what are you going to do if this thing does come to pass this May? Or what if it don't happen this May, but the next May? They said it was going to happen with the national ID card last May, but the computers were not there. But they are there now. Jack Van Impe told us the other night about these computers and the place they're in. And now then they're going to want to put by next May the RFID chip in your hand or in your forehead. And if you're not willing to take it, and of course he says a lot of people are not going to take it. They're not going to want to take it. But he says what they're going to do between now and then, there is going to be some kind of a national disaster, like a few nuclear bombs drop on America. Devastation. And they're going to tell you then that if you don't take the chip, we'll not be able to keep up with you. You'll not be able to buy, sell, and trade. And so people will come storming to their places demanding to have this chip. That's what they're going to do. This is not God's plan. God is going to bring a revival in, Tom. That's his plan. See, now we got to look at this from his side. Now, how many times in history have we looked at it when the Jewish people were... What's this? Just a minute, I'll talk. How many times in history have we looked at God's Word when the Jews turned their back on God? And he went years and years and years trying his best to get them back and sent prophets and all kinds of stuff. And they turned them down, killed the prophet, did everything else. One day he said, okay, I'm fed up. I'm going to bring a nation against you and I'm going to wipe you out. And he did. And he'd wipe them out and kill them. And then they get into bondage and everything. And then they would start finally crying out, oh, God, please forgive us. And he'd give them a few years to cry out, beg and plead. And then he would forgive them, and then he'd restore them, and he'd bring them back home and say, now, don't forget what I did. You know, I'm going to bring you back in these houses and bring back the wells you didn't dig, and I'm going to start taking care of you again. And it says, and soon they forgot who he was again. Now, see, that's why God does what he does. And that's why he's doing what he's doing now, because he is going in these last days to bring a revival that's beyond yours and my wildest dreams. I mean, he's there. I mean, as long as people, when you got them $20 million houses out there in California, and you got another $20 million in the bank, and you got $150,000 to $300,000 car, three or four of them sitting out in the garage, and you got one sitting out there, and one in New York, and one in Kansas City, and all this stuff, and you got all this money all over the world, and you're one of these big fat boys, you know, you got money everywhere. I mean, you're a fat cat. You got everything in the world you ever need. Who needs God? But when the cars are all gone, the houses are all gone, your bank account's all gone, and you're hungry, and there's some little guy over here in the church says, hey, come over here, we'll feed you. But you got to hear about Jesus first. Now we're going to give you just a little few morsels of food to kind of give you a little strength, and then we're going to talk to you about Jesus, and if you don't believe Jesus, we ain't going to feed you no more. Y'all see where I'm coming from? Hey, they're listening. They would have never listened to us before. But now then, hey, how do you stay in health? Well, the King of the universe, he takes care of me. He made these promises to me. I'm not sick and afflicted, you know. I mean, hey, he takes care of me. Where do you get this food? Oh, he rains it down from heaven. Lord, I need some food for this guy. Okay, he said, you got one loaf of bread. You got one loaf of wheat bread. Okay, take that wheat bread up. But Lord, I got 5,000 people. He said, that's okay. Go up and start breaking off ends and giving it to them. And so we start right here, and I break off a piece, give it to this one, break off one, give it to this one. And you look, and the loaf's still whole. Now, what can God do, brother? Ain't nothing impossible with God, right? Now, I believe he's going to do those kind of things in these end times. I believe he's going to do that. But if everything goes as is planned by these big boys, and they do put this RFID chip out in May, or whenever they put it out, I want you to know, you better not take that thing. They said, but if you don't take it, you ain't going to be able to buy, sell, or trade. Well, you better be ready to die for Jesus, because I'd rather die for Jesus than die and go to hell with that chip in my hand. And that's what's going to happen. They are fully aware of God's death penalty for those who do these things, yet they go right ahead and do them anyway, and worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Did you have a question, Joseph?
I want to show you this. That's my military identification card. On the back of it, you see this strip here?
Yeah.
Contains my complete history going back to the time that I was born.
Yeah, everything.
Throughout the 25 years that I was in the Air Force, that card is almost 20 years old. You can see that's one step towards what they're doing.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. In other words, that thing is 20 years old, and 20 years ago, everything on that little spot has your complete history on that.
Right on. And they have computers that can read that thing.
Yeah, yeah. And think what they got today. Yes, Bill.
This service started off today tying into the word fear. We're to fear not. We know that we're in a war. We're in a spiritual war. There's a spiritual battle going on. But right now, something is very applicable to our present situation right now is this. And I'll give an example. A few days back, over the last week or two, I have thought it would be nice to advise people what was really going on according to the internet about proving the natural, whether Barack Obama is a naturalized citizen. Well, it's getting pretty evident out there, but I tried to see if CNN, NBC, ABC, or any of the networks would even consider bringing it up as news in order to justify whether he is or will not be able to be and stay in the office after the Electoral College votes, and they have the information, which is in the Supreme Court right now, as to whether the Supreme Court will even act on it or not. And if they don't act on it and it's in violation, that just takes the Constitution and does away with it.
Throws it in the trash.
But more than personally, what happened to me was, and this will be of interest to these people that are sitting here that have the dark color. Arizona, and during the time I was at, is this on?
Yeah.
At the time I was in Arizona, the black 92nd and 93rd Division were there. They were all black people. My dad, being a white officer, as it was in the World War II days, the white officers were at that time head of these divisions. Well, I developed this friendship early on, so you know, it's kind of like Jesus. Jesus isn't colorblind, but he is when it comes to all of us. He does not see color.
Amen.
Well, what's going to happen is this, or what happened to me the other day was this, and it brought it all home. I have two dear friends. One's in the church that I attend, another church, and one's an attorney in Dallas. They're black, highly educated, very intelligent people. I got an email with a mandate, don't email me anymore. And I thought I was just bringing information to them. And I emailed back, and I said, what have I done? I mean, I said, all I'm trying to do is just bring in the news of what's going on out there. Then I got a detailed email back from one of these men, and it was a long one. And he said, you don't understand the fear that we have. He said, well, you don't understand the fear that my grandfather went through, and my grandmother was raped and hurt. And he said, you just don't understand what we came through in this country that could come about again. And it hurt me. I thought, I didn't want to offend this person. Yesterday morning, I went to a Gideon prayer breakfast, which I try to do when I'm here back in Irving, and I was between two black brothers, one on each side and the other side. We were all on our knees, about 12 of us, and we had our prayer breakfast. And when we finished, I said to him, let me tell you something. If we stand on the word of God, stand on our Bible, Jesus told us what it would do, what we should do when we give a cold drink to one or visit somebody in a prison, or even the greatest thing we can do is lay our life down for a friend. And I looked at this one black brother, and I said, I want to tell you something right now. If the day comes, I'll take a bullet for you. I said, I didn't go to World War II. I missed Korea and I missed Vietnam, but I said, I've always wanted to serve my country. But more than that, I want to serve my God. He said, would you do that? I said, I looked me in the eyes. I said, I made the statement, I'll live by it and I'll die by it. I'll stand in front of you. Because I said, right now, all of our churches that have the black and the white in them need to come together in bondage like we've never done before. Because Amen. When things happen in this country, people are going to be taking sides. They say birds of a feather don't flock together. But my friend, Christians do. Amen. We're all of a different color, whether we be black, brown, or
anything
any
else.
Color.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, you only die one time.
That's all.
But I think we need to start something among the blacks and the whites and the Hispanics, the Spanish, in our churches to say we are together as a group.
Yeah.
When things start to happen, let's bond together because there's going to try to be, they will try to separate us. They're going to try to take away our guns. They're going to try to do the things you're talking about. And the worst thing that could happen is for these people, say, to think that we're really not who we say we are. So they would fear us. Well, we've got to take that fear out and let them know we love them. Amen. And we'll stand by them. And I'll stand by any person that I'm with when I think I see something trying to happen to them. And if they're black, that's just that could be that much easier. Because
yeah.
I can only die one time. But I just wanted to bring that up because there is fear out in the land.
Oh,
and there's fear among the Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And I was shocked as to how much fear came through this email.
Yeah.
And fear that this man had.
Yeah. And that's what I'm trying to get across. We're not to live in fear.
That's right.
We're to live in faith. That's what this is all about, is faith. And when we realize that we're sons and daughters of God and we're walking in obedience to God's word, there is no reason for us to fear. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are. If you're a Christian, that's the thing. We're Christians. Red, yellow, black, or white. God made us all. And just like Bill said, God does not see color in the church. Yeah, He made us all different colors. But we're going to have to stand together in faith, in love, or we're not going to make it. But I believe there is going to be groups of us. I mean, I believe little groups. I believe our little group will stand. I mean, I believe the men and women that come to this church, I believe we're solid enough. It don't make any difference. If everybody that knows me knows that I don't see color. You know, I mean, I remember when years ago, when I was over there and there was a black man that was in charge of Braniff's maintenance down in their truck shop down there, and I had a bay lease down there and I had some men working for me down there, so I was down there every once in a while. One day this black man came to me and said, Thurman, we got race relations day in our church Sunday, 2 weeks from now. He said, would you come over and speak at our church on race relations day? I said, man, I'm humbled. I said, why in the world would you ask me to come to your church? He said, it's virtually all black. He said, there's not any, hardly nobody there. You'll be the only white man there. But he said, I want you to speak on Race Relations Day. I said, why? He said, I've observed you for the last several months, actually years, that I've been here. He said, you got white men working for you. You got black men working for you. You got brown men working for you. He said, I've seen all kinds of different men come through here. And with even one of my guys, whether they be red, yellow, black, or white, you treat every one of them exactly the same. So he said, I know you walk what you talk. And so he said, I want you to come over to my church. So Tim was a little bitty guy. And he's 34 years old now, but he was a little bitty guy, but this big, about 7 or 8 years old. And he and I went over to that black church that day, and I spoke on Race Relations Day. Now, that was a kind of a semi-Pentecostal, and I was a Southern Baptist. I had never seen such singing and praising and clapping and raising. I said, man, I like this. These folks got it together. I had never seen anything like that in my Baptist church. In our Baptist church, we were nearly all white. But we're those, you know, we sat back there, you know. Praise the Lord. I'm standing on the promise. No, forget them guys. They knew how to sing. I mean, they were praising the Lord. It was awesome. Yes, brother. Oh, wait just a minute. We got you guys want to put this on tape so I can hear what y'all have to say.
Well, this is concerning. I always thought that the church was going to be raptured at any moment, you know. I didn't realize the Bible said when the rapture would take place. It's in 2 Thessalonians. And it's called the great apostasy, or the which means the falling away. I guess that means the church, right?
Well, the
church. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, as we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by the Spirit or by the Word or by letter. as it is from us, as though the day of Christ has come. Let no one deceive you by any means that that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
Amen. Yeah.
So we are going to see the Antichrist, and we're going to see the falling away of the church.
Yeah, we're going to. I don't know. I know that the Lord is coming again for his people. I do know that because he said it in his word. I just don't know when. And it really don't make a whole lot of difference to me when. I know that he's in control. He's my God. And I know he's going to watch over me and protect me. And I'm just going to be about his business till he comes. If I get killed in the midst of this, who cares? I get to go home to be with Jesus. But in the meantime, I'm going to serve him. And it makes no difference whether I live or I die. I win.
Amen.
I win. So that's the whole thing. That's the thing we've got to get in our spirits. And I say, I win. I should say, we win. That's the whole thing. We need to know our God that way. We need to be sticking together. We need to know in the meantime, if we have a need of any kind, the King tells us to come and pray. Just like you heard Jean say, she finally believed that she could get healed and didn't have to have cold feet after all these years. And you can see she's a teenager, see? Just a little past a teenager, right? But by being a little past a teenager, it doesn't make any difference. When it happens, you finally got there, right, Gene?
Right.
I've got to tell you this story about this guy out, and then I'll give you the mic. But I was out in Gory, Cheryl and I was the other day, Texas. We flew out there on Saturday morning and spoke that Saturday afternoon in a Southern Baptist church. Now, there was a lady there, number one. Dave went with us, and he put the stuff on the screen. So when I started teaching, the scriptures were right there, so she didn't have to open her Bible. Well, Monday, when we got back in Monday, she said, "Sir, If you'd have walked in that church and started saying, even though you're quoting scripture, if it hadn't been on the wall for me to see, I'd have got up and walked out on you because I would have known you were crazy." But she said, the scripture you used, I'd never heard them before. But she said, when I looked up there and it says what chapter and verse, I opened my Bible and lo and behold, my Bible said the same thing. So she said, I guess I better listen. So she said, now I want you to know I've learned a lot of things and I want to change the way I do business. I want some more of your teaching. But there was a young man there. He had been listening to some of my stuff for a few months, and somebody sent him one of my DVDs, and he listened to it he listened to the whole thing. But he said, when you got down to the point that you said your wife had cold feet, and you cast a demon out of your wife, and he said, and her feet got warm, he said, I thought, this guy's a dummy. Don't he know a Christian can't have a demon? I mean, he's a good Southern Baptist, you know. He really believes. So anyway, he said, I listened to it, but I, you know, put it off to the side. And said a little later, my wife come by and picked it up. She listened to it. Said that night we went to bed. And she said, did you look at that DVD that we got from Thurman? Yeah, I listened to it. What'd you think? Well, he said some of the stuff I didn't agree with. Like what? Well, you know where he said he cast that demon out of his wife and her feet got warm? Yeah. I don't believe that. I don't believe a Christian can have a demon. Well, she said, you know, I've always had cold feet all my life. So why don't you cast a demon out of me? She said, honey, are you crazy? She said, well, at least you could pray for me. Said, you hadn't even prayed for my feet. At least he prayed for her after he cast a demon out. And God did heal her cold feet. So he said, if he did it for him, he'll do it for me. Well, he said, okay. So he said, I threw the cover off her and I reached down and got over her feet. Said they were cold as ice. I said, now God, if it be your will, will you please heal my wife's feet? Does that sound like a faith statement?
No.
And guess what God didn't do? He didn't do nothing. So he sat there for 4 or 5 minutes. He said her feet were just as cold. And she finally said, she's sitting there just patient. Said the minute she looked down, says, you going to do it like Thurman did or not? He said, that made me mad. You know, so he said, I screamed at her. Okay, you devil of hell. He said, now I know she's got a demon because the way she talked to me. So he said, you devil of hell, I command you to come out of her in Jesus' name. And he said, her feet got toasty warm right in my hands. Changed his life forever. He saw God move when he did it his way. And then he said, a few months later, I was out there, said, I work in the oil field. And he said, I'm continuing to listen to your tapes. I'm growing all the time. Said I was loading a big truck to gross weight, and I had all this oil fill equipment on it. And I told the guy, hold it just a minute. I got to push that bucket of bolts over on it. It might fall off. So he said, I jumped up on the tire, standing on top of the tire, and I pushed that bucket of bolts further on the truck, and I went to jump off, and he thought I'd already jumped off, and he pulled forward. When he did, it went over, my foot was on the tire, and went on and said, this wheel ran over my top of my foot. This truck's loaded 80,000 pounds. He said, it hurt like crazy. He said, my first thought was, oh my gosh, I broke my foot. But he said, I didn't let that come out because I heard your tape on the tongue. I said, Lord, thank you for healing my foot in the name of Jesus. Now see, when you have a test like that, Lord, I praise you for letting this truck run over my foot. Did the king say in all things rejoice? Yes, he did. Now, how many of us do that as Christians? Not enough of us. We need to get to where we can praise him. He started praising him, worshiping me. He said, my foot was hurting like crazy. And then I said, one of the guys said, oh my gosh. He said, the guy saw me in the mirror. He jumped out. He said, I need to take you to the doctor. He said, no, I'm okay. Jesus is going to heal me. And he said, there's three or four guys standing over. And I looked at them. They said, we better take you to the doctor. He said, no, Jesus is my healer. He said, any of you guys know Jesus? No. Then not one single one of them knew Jesus. So he said, he talked to him a little bit about Jesus. And then he said, I hobbled up there and opened the gate and let the guy out, closed the gate, went and got my pickup, and I started home. Said, as I started home, I heard this, said, my foot was hurting. But he said, I heard this little voice say, son, your foot's broken. You need to go to the doctor and get it taken care of or you're going to lose your leg. He said, I thought that was God at first. And then he said, I thought, no, that ain't God. That ain't God. He said, you devil of hell, in the name of Jesus, no. I believe that Jesus is going to fix my foot, and I don't need to go to the doctor. I'm okay. So he said, yeah, went home, said, I'm just going to take a shower, go to bed, sleep good. I'm going to wake up in the morning, hit the floor, ain't going to be nothing wrong with my foot. What does Mark 11:23 say you can have? Amen. Whatever you can say with that mouth, if you can believe it with your heart. He said, I went to bed the next morning. I got up. He said, I thought, well, I'm going to look at it. There ain't no pain in this morning. He said, I pulled my foot up and looked at it. On top, it looked great. Under the bottom, he said, there was a little bitty tiny bruise about the size of a quarter. And he said, in a couple of days, that was gone, and I ain't never had a problem with that foot. Now, if he had listened to that voice and went to the doctor, guess what had been wrong with his foot? It had been tore all to pieces. It had been crushed. Now, our God has provided all these things for you and me, hasn't he? Don't you think it's time we start believing him? Now then, oh, he's got a statement. You said you needed to tell us something?
This is what he said earlier. This is my personal experience working with God. And only this year, and somebody invited me to this black community church. And they have a revival going of repentance, of discrimination. And so I went over there. I didn't thought anything. I just walked in. And then pastor, the church pastor approached me, asked me stand in gap for the Asian community for the repentance. I said, okay, Lord, I didn't prepare for prayer. I don't know anything about what to say, what to pray for. And I was just, well, my heart was beating. And I got nervous. But I said, okay. And when my time come, I went in, I gave my favorite scripture, and also my experience. And I don't know the discrimination because I never learned, nobody told me, and I grew up at the love, just love walk. Amen. Even I didn't know Jesus then, I still loved it all. So when I come to U.S., I started learning all those things.
Amen.
That didn't help. But I didn't stand up for my belief. And I repent my sin for that.
Amen.
And I stand in gap for the people, and all Asian people. And after that day, I had a, you know, international phone call prayer conference. As I'm praying for the also repentance on those, I couldn't remember that word, discrimination. I try bring it out on me. And I couldn't bring it. I couldn't remember. And so I give some other word to the, you know, conference prayer. And then after I hang up, I ask God, why? I couldn't remember that word. How come it didn't come to my remembrance? And I ask God. He didn't say anything. I ask it again. He didn't say anything. I keep asking. Then I don't know how long it went by, but all of a sudden, Holy Ghost showed me that because I don't remember, I took it out of my heart. I cast it away.
Amen.
And in heaven, those words does not exist.
Amen.
When you repented once, you know, what you spoke of,
amen,
you take it out of you. So it doesn't contain in you.
Amen.
And God also told me, do not ever bring it back. People bring it back. They say, I repent. They speak it in that word, but they still bring it back. You shouldn't do that. You are a confessed Christian, you cast it out of you, and do not bring it back to
Amen.
The life.
Amen.
That's what God told me. And He said, it, you know, God's word is truth. And His eye, we are no difference. We are all same. And His love work, you know, He teaches us all same thing. That's Amen. What He told me that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, praise the King. Oh, goodness gracious. Proverbs 4, verses 1, or actually 20. First, Proverbs 4, 20. Let's start at verse 20. We're going to close on this today. Proverbs 4, 20. What's God saying in Proverbs 4, 20? Pay attention, my child, to what I say. Should we pay attention to what He says? Be careful. Verse 21. Don't lose sight of my words. Let them penetrate deep within your heart. For those that let them penetrate deep within your heart, they bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meanings. Is the Word of God important? How many of us want to have wonderful life and radiant health? I'm going to hold up both hands. Praise God. Yes, I want it. But so what do we got to do, Scott? Pay attention to the Word, right? Don't lose sight of these words. Let these words penetrate deep within your heart, for they'll bring life and radiant health to anyone who discovers their meanings. That's good, isn't it? Why do we come and talk about the Word of God? Why do we go through so many scriptures in this church every time we meet? Because it's the Word of God. You know, I'm not the kind of guy that comes up here and reads one verse and then talks 15 minutes and then closes and we go home. I think if you're going to spend enough time to come here, I need to give you at least an hour and a half or 2 hours of God's Word every time we sit down. Because if you're a normal Christian in a normal churches, they have church for an hour, the kinds I was raised up in. You know, first 15 minutes or 20 minutes we sing, and then we give read the bulletin or whatever, and we do those kind of things and say a few things. Then we read one or two or three scriptures, and then we talk 15 or 20 minutes. Then we give an altar call, and then we go home. That's not me. I might have been raised up in one of them kind, but that ain't me. You know, I like to sit down and talk about God's Word. If I don't talk to you an hour and a half or 2 hours, I don't feel like I've done anything. You may think, wow, I wish you had shut up. That's okay. You know, we've been here for 2.5 hours. 30 minutes teaching, or 30 minutes singing, 2 hours teaching. So, but anyway, the Word of God tells us what to do and how to do it. And if we'll do it, hey, I mean, it's going to be, in fact, I'll tell you something that what Bill said there. I hate to say this, but the other night I was out of town and I had some CDs and DVDs, actually DVDs, we took some with us. And when we walked in, there was a man walked into the church and he looked down at my CDs and saw what the title was on one of them. He didn't know what was in it or nothing. He just looked at it and he turned around and said, I ought to sue you for that. I thought, are you a Christian? He said, yes. I thought, well, you ain't a very good one. Does God's Word say in His Word, we are never to sue another brother in Christ? That's what it says. That word should never come out of his mouth. That told me exactly where he was. And I thought about what Bill was talking about, how that in the church, we get men and women that get crosswise with each other, and we want to sue each other. In the church! Anytime anybody in the church tells me I'm going to sue you, that tells me you don't know much about God's Word. You ain't very close to God. You need to go home and get in the Word. When you do, then you realize Paul said, you know, just suffer it, whatever. Just take it. But don't sue them. Now then, the problem we have in the church is because we didn't study the book. When we study the book, when the devastation that comes, are we going to be in fear? No. No, we're going to stand. I mean, I told their testimony up there. In fact, I had several men come up to me after I told their testimony. I said, this man, he reads the Word of God. I said, about 2 or 2.5 years ago, this man came here with his wife and his children. They were sick. The kids were sick. All kinds of things going on. And we taught on Psalms 91. And he got a hold of it. And he started reading Psalms 91, him and his wife one, over their family virtually every day. And since they've been reading Psalms 91 over their family every day, Kim come up here the other day and said, we ain't had a sick child in our home since then. And that's wonderful, isn't it, Scott? Now, when you call God in remembrance of His promises, does He show up? He shows up. So after I told their story up there in that church, I had several men come up to me and said, Thurman, I love that story you told about that boy, Scott. He said, I'm going to start doing that over my family every day. Now see, you have no idea when you do something, how you can be a testimony to somebody else, Scott. But that's the way the kingdom works, isn't it? Father, we thank You and praise You for this beautiful day. We just give You praise and glory for what You're doing. Lord, we know You know what's going on. You're God, and You still rule from heaven. You've told us in Your Word that You do today. So we absolutely live today in no fear. We're worshiping You and praising You and thank You. And for whatever comes, we're ready. Lord, we're ready. We're ready to serve You, to tell people about You, to bring people into the kingdom, to get people saved, healed, and delivered, and get them set free from the clutches of the devil. Lord, we're ready. Lord, whatever. Lord, I mean that, Lord. I'm ready. Bring them on. We can talk to them about You. Lord, I ain't ashamed of You. I know You're a mighty God. I know You can do so many things beyond my wildest dreams. But Lord, if there's anybody here today that don't know You as Lord and Savior, we invite them to come and make You Lord of their life. Anybody here that needs to be prayed over for whatever their need might be, healing or anything else, we ask You to bring them forward. And then, Lord, we're going to pray the prayer of faith for them. We're going to ask You to do a great and mighty work in everybody's life that comes. And Lord, I thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you are new here, all the media is free. You can take anything you want. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Just to make sure I won't say something before you all run off. She's fixing to start her Christ Haven thing again this year. And if she does this, I think this is about the seventh year she's done this. And she wants to tell you all something about Christ Haven.
Yeah, I just wanted to give you a heads up. It is the seventh year. Last year we raised $68,000, which was wonderful. God did some wonderful things. This year, I think we totally gave Christmas to 469 children and single parents. This year, we have 31 foster kids at Christ Haven, and then we have 46 children and 25 women at Open Arms. And Open Arms is the battered shelter. To get into it, you have to either be living in your car or on the street with your children. So their great needs are clothing. All of them need clothing. And then the kids, they want clothing and toys. So if you want to get involved, I haven't typed up the list yet. I've got the initial letter done, and I think we've started emailing it out. And if you want to give money, just give it to the ministry and just notate on your check that it's for the children and for Christ Haven. And I'll separate all that out because I run everything through the ministry nowadays. And it would be great, anything you want to do, if you want to help buy or wrap or I think we have to have Open Arms gifts to them probably by December 15th. And then the party, if you want to come to that, it's on Saturday, December 20th, out at Christie's restaurant, Little Pete's at Lake Grapevine in Flower Mound. And it'll be from 1 to 3 like it is every year. So anything you want to do to help, we'd love to have you help. Jesus is in control, and we give Him all the praise and glory.
Yeah, quite a blessing to be able to help all these people. You know, you think about need, and you think about how you, as most people that are Christian today, are so blessed. I mean, we got everything. You know, I mean, I don't have to worry about where I'm going to eat this afternoon. I didn't eat nothing but a bowl of cereal this morning because I didn't want anything but a bowl of cereal, but I could have picked out on anything I wanted. I mean, I had everything in the world here to eat. I didn't have to worry about sleeping in a beautiful bed last night. You know, I mean, I had a beautiful, warm bed. I had that, but some people are sleeping on the street. And like Cheryl says, these women have been beat up on, battered by their husbands, living either on the street with their children or in a car. And if they're there, then they can get into open arms at Christ Haven. And, of course, I can now understand, since we've been doing this now for 7 years, I can now understand what the Lord meant when he said it's much better to be able to give than receive. And so...
Also, if you have any used furniture, clothes, they'll take any of that. And this program, they first put them in a locked-up area so that the men can't get to them. We delivered the gifts the first time we started working with them, and it's a completely, barred. I don't know what I'm trying to say. You know what I'm trying to say, though. Yeah. Anyway, it's barred. It's secluded, and nobody knows where they are, and it's barred and gates and everything, you know. It's like a compound. And... they start there. They have them go through all kinds of anger management because not only have they been beat up, but their kids have been beat up too, usually. And so they have them go through all this anger management. Then they help them get a job. Then they help them get a car, and they put them into housing. They actually literally put them in the housing. And so they are always needing furniture. So if you have any furniture, used, new, whatever, or use clothing. They also, when they get there, they usually come in with a sack, some of them, because that's all they got out of the house with, is a sack. And, you know, with clothes, maybe a little bit of clothes in it, but most of them don't have clothes. And they give them a voucher to go down to this little store they have to get some clothes so that they can pick out some clothes. Last year we were so blessed because Eldon and Nancy found this man who in their neighborhood who had bought out a Bill's department store, and he had, it was 5,000 pieces of women's clothing, brand new clothing, that we bought for 50 cents on the dollar. And so I paid $2,500 for it, which got split between them and Christ Haven, which was great, you know, because the elder girls at Christ Haven could use the clothing too. But they would take this used clothing if they don't have someone that can wear it. They put it in this store so as people come in. So it doesn't matter what you have, what size it is, you want to give it. Bringing in normally garbage bags is great if you have used clothing, and because they'll come out at different times, they come out and they pick up things from us, or like I say, used furniture.
And sometimes we take it down there. We took a couple of trailer loads, and of course it has to be a closed-in trailer. So this year I went out in that beautiful 20-foot, totally closed-in trailer. You see out there's a brand new one. I bought it for these purposes, and we're going to haul stuff down there for them and everything. I mean, when people have something to give us. Or to be transferred. Well, I got this beautiful 20-foot totally enclosed trailer now and double axle, and I bought it just for this, to be served of the Lord. So who knows? We're trying to get ready. We want to be a blessing to everybody. That's what this is all about.
And if you have an extra car, they take cars too. They take anything you have.
We give them everything.
And they'll fix it.
Yeah. So anyway, if you want to, like I said, the media and everything here is free. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, there's a box over there. You can make out a check or just drop it, put an envelope there, whatever. And if you want to give a donation to this children's ministry, if you make out a check, make it out to TLSM, but in the bottom left corner, put for the children. And that way, Cheryl will put all that money, just like she did last year. And last year, in this period of time, she was able to accumulate the largest by far. Last year, we dreamed we'd get $50,000. We started out the first year, I think we got 16, and then the next 18, and next time 25, and then right on up. And then finally, we thought, wow, if we could get $50,000, Lord, this would be awesome. So, Lord, we got great faith. We believe you for $50,000 this year for all these kids and women that need all this. And he gave her $68,000. And I'm telling you, she spent every penny on all them kids and bought things and women and everything. What a blessing it is to be a member of the body of Christ. So, anyway, if you need to be prayed for, we invite you up here. If you don't need to be prayed for, you're dismissed to get whatever you want to, or to stand around and talk, or whatever you want to do. And I guess you're dismissed. Praise the Lord. We got something? Huh? Oh, you want to say something? What? Oh. Oh, I mean, I was looking over him. I didn't see him. This. Okay.
Always remember to praise Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you want...
prayed for. If you come up here, we'll pray for you. Praise the Lord.